So, John, can you present your patient?
Yeah, this is a 72-year-old female who actually presented to her gynecologist because of vaginal bleeding and also complained of left upper quadrant pain. And she was too uncomfortable to be examined in the office. But there was definitely a mass in the left upper quadrant on physical exam. And she had a CAT scan that did show a 10-centimeter mass that looked consistent with a primary renal cell. She had an exam under anesthesia. There was a large vaginal mass in the right posterior wall and a second mass in the left anterior wall of the vagina, and she biopsied the first mass, and it came back a clear cell carcinoma consistent with the renal primary. On staging, there was no other sites of metastatic disease found. Nephrectomy was discussed with her, but she was equally, if not more, symptomatic from the vaginal bleeding. Her hemoglobin was okay, but she was just more distressed, I guess, by the vaginal bleeding. She was fatigued. Her performance status was 2. Other comorbidities included hypertension, which was controlled. She had an MI with CABG 10 years previously and osteoporosis. Her baseline creatinine was 2. I started her on sunitinib 37.5 milligrams a day for 4 out of 6 weeks. She lived alone. She was widowed. She had a daughter that became supportive but was not so supportive initially. So she was relied on friends, different friends, to get her to appointments and felt I wanted to go a little bit lower with the dose. And she did become more fatigued on sunitinib, but her vaginal bleeding did stop and her pain improved significantly in the left upper quadrant. The other thing that I was thinking about was giving radiation therapy to the vaginal area, but renal cell tumors don't seem as radiosensitive as other tumors and wasn't going to do anything about the kidney. 3 weeks later, she had her first break and basically begged to have the dose reduced. So I went down to 25 milligrams to start cycle number 2.
Her main issue was the fatigue?
The fatigue.
You're just like totally knocked out?
Yeah, and you know, I tried to emphasize the good pieces here, but she was just having a tough time. And so 3 weeks into that cycle, it didn't do much for the fatigue, but now the vaginal bleeding recurred. And I stopped the sunitinib at that point, and she started palliative radiation therapy, which helped control the bleeding. She's at the point now that she's gotten restaged, and now she does have a liver that's full of tumor.
Before you say what you did, maybe, Nick, can you talk about what you've heard so far? Have you seen vaginal mets from renal cell?
Yeah, this is reminiscent of a paper that I was thinking of writing but never did. I had a series of patients with vaginal ovarian, you know, in the old days when I got all the kidney cancer patients because there was nothing but interferon to try, and I got a lot of them, and I had a series of these kind of patients. I remember the number of them were not large, but nonetheless, I distinctly remember a few patients who had just spectacular responses to interferon. Now, not in the face of a primary. This is in a relapse situation, and so the responses were durable and interesting. In this particular patient, I'm not certain I would have done anything differently. I think you're stuck with what you're stuck with.
You see peritoneal disease with renal cell much, Bob?
No, you don't. It's very rare to see a peritoneal disease. The one time you see it sometime is potentially if there's contamination at the time of surgery. At a nephrectomy, people recur with that. But renal cancer metastasizes everywhere, different places commonly, and the GU organs are a well-recognized site, either the vagina or even the testicle. We see renal cell cancer metastasis to the testicle.
Or the penis.
The penis,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those rare tumors that goes to the penis, so it's like melanoma.
Bob, what would you be thinking right now? She's progressing, she's got a liver full of tumor. What would you be thinking?
Well, I think this is a very difficult case because of the fact that when she presented originally, she seemed to be quite sick with a low performance status, multiple sites of metastasis. And I guess one question would be, you know, the issue is can you palliate and stop the bleeding with radiation therapy before you move on to the sunitinib? And that's just something to consider. This patient was treated with sunitinib, carefully monitored, and had a sounded like a brief response, but didn't tolerate therapy, probably because her performance status is poor, and so the fatigue on top of that. I guess one question now, I mean, certainly one option would be just palliative supportive therapy, but another option at this point that I would think of would be temsirolimus in a patient like this, since temsirolimus was specifically developed and tailored to patients who are ill with their renal cancer, who have a lot of symptoms, fatigue and so forth related to renal cancer. It, to my knowledge, hasn't been associated with bleeding, and it does not cause a lot of fatigue. So I would think in this person she might be a candidate for temsirolimus if her performance status and so forth now is acceptable.
So, John, what happened?
That's exactly the discussion that we had. I mean, I was really leaning more towards best supportive care because she was declining a combination of disease and therapy, but she really does want treatment, and her venous access is not very good, and she needed a port, and she's willing to do that. So now she started temsirolimus, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I think she does, the one thing right now, she does have more of a support system with her daughter being more involved, and now her daughter brings her to every appointment. So it's exact same discussion. She wanted treatment. I thought it was reasonable and we're pressing ahead.
I just add a little bit of for the future. First of all, the interferon and interferon IL-2 story in the vaginal metastasis patients from my past life was always intriguing. And I would not, granted she's already got fatigue, but I would not rule out the possibility of interferon. And if you've controlled the bleeding, an interferon bevacizumab would not be a bad combination to be tried. I'm somewhat cautious with the bleeding, but nonetheless, interferon bevacizumab would be interesting. I do know also that the gemcitabine-zolota combination has been tested extensively, although CLGB found it to be too toxic. You have to lower the zolota down a long way when you give it with gemcitabine. And I know that MD Anderson has completed and published their trial 20% response rate. And now they are moving forward with a gemcitabine, capecitabine, and Avastin study. So there may be another angle if this patient is capable of tolerating the drugs.
I want to go on, Gracie, to your patient. But any other questions anyone have? Matt?
Avastin in patients who have renal vein involvement who don't have a nephrectomy, as you know, there is a risk of thrombosis. Is there a concern with that increased risk of thrombosis or...
The IVC involvement or the renal vein involvement is strictly by tumor. I have seen a number of these patients. I'm sure Bob's seen even larger numbers. They are at risk for tumor emboli. That is, depending upon the size of the tumor, it actually can break off and embolize. I had
PE type sound syndrome?
Yeah. I published a case of a lady who died of a saddle embolus from renal cancer to her pulmonary veins. So, yeah, it can be sudden death. I also had another patient where there were no lung mets, and there was a tumor with a vena cava involvement, and the patient about 3 weeks later had a repeat CT scan and had multiple new pulmonary nodules, and the vena cava mass was gone.
Wow.
So I think that may be a mechanism by which these pulmonary nodules just seem to come out of nowhere. Most recently, I had a lady who was not operable, a huge primary and bone mets, and she had an IVC invasion. And with sunitinib, the IVC lesions have disappeared. So I don't know about you, Bob, if you've seen that.
Yeah. Usually the tumor in the IVC is, we usually treat that as tumor and don't anticoagulate strictly for that because otherwise people have problems with bleeding. And what's really been remarkable is with sunitinib, we've had any number of patients where you actually see the tumor in the IVC shrink away also, yeah.
It's pretty gratifying. You have the urologists who like to talk about the stem to stern and open their pericardium and, you know, take it out of the atrium and all that, and I think that's going to be a thing of the past, at least for these kind of tumors.
Gracie?
Can an IVC filter prevent that from happening?
No.
No.
Usually the problem with the IVC filter is that is the tumor goes up so that if you're doing that, you have to put a filter above the level of the renal veins, and that's a dangerous procedure because people can clot that off and go into renal failure.